on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we move our way through the NBA playoffs. We are in the second round, down to your final eight. And got some interesting results already coming in the NBA playoffs. There's a couple road teams and the underdogs have early victories in these second rounds. So we might get a little bit more competitiveness as we go through here, as you would expect, of course. Colts and the rest of the NFL is seeing their rookie and first-time players in camp, along with, well, most of the rest of the teams, in for a quick camp, just a three-day thing over the weekend, so you get a little bit of view of what's going on with the players and what the rookies might look like. And a little bit of a, I don't know if I want to call this a bombshell, because it's certainly not a surprise, but as it relates to the NFL, this afternoon it was released that the NFL believes that it was likely that the New England Patriots cheated when they deflated balls on purpose when they played the Indianapolis Colts.
No,
so here we go back to deflated balls, Glass. And look, 45-7 for Colts fans. Let's just digest that for a second before we get too crazy about the Colts needing to be in the Super Bowl or anything like that. But there are certainly questions that come into play. And what it tells you more than anything else is this. If you didn't already know that Bill Belichick sets a mindset of his team that you will do anything up and up to and around what the law and the rules say you should do, then it should be no surprise. I suppose the great thing about that is it's kind of the American way to find the rules, find what you can do up to the rules and get away with anything that might skirt the edges. But here you go. Here's the Patriots once again. You know, it's what, 5, 6, 7 years after Filmgate or whatever that
you
called
out one
it. Spygate.
You left out one part of this whole thing.
Deflate gate.
They keep getting caught.
Well, exactly.
That's what the issue is.
At least it's after the fact, I guess.
Well, the issue is you can
just long enough where it made him to the Super Bowl.
You can hate the Patriots all you want. They just keep getting caught. So it's not like someone's making this up about them because they're upset they win a few games and have won a few Super Bowls. The fact is, they've been caught.
Mm-hmm.
They've already been punished once for Spygate.
Lost draft pick, number one draft pick.
$500,000 fine. And according to everything, I'm just scanning through Twitter, Michael Wilbon, I guess, said that he thinks Brady's going to get 3 to 4 games. So for not doing anything, they're sure paying some prices for not doing anything. So
yeah.
If your angle is, well, what's the big deal? Who cares if a half a pound of a football here or half a pound of a football there? Well, they're going to suspend probably their 1A marketed player for 3 or 4 games because they're not playing by the said rules. It's like the great line from The Firm, Dave. I know you want the rules. You don't want the rules broken. I just want to know how far you want them bent.
Yes.
And that's fine until you break them. And just like in society and anything else, you have to have rules. And if you get caught breaking them, there has to be consequences. There's no point in having them. And whether you think the punishment, whatever it may be, is stiff enough, not stiff enough, the point of the matter is, it's dirty, and Belichick's reign in New England's dirty. Remember, that was the first Super Bowl they won
since Spygate,
yep. Where they might not have had some kind of tactical advantage they had in winning 3 out of 4 the first time around.
Assuming they're not still doing that.
Well, and I don't know who checks up on that to make sure it doesn't happen in this day and age. I would think it'd be much more easier to set a cell phone up in a corner of a stadium and record all
sure.
you want and to see what it is. But to see their employees, to see their text messages back and forth about the guys that had to work for Brady and do what they did is quite funny. Doesn't seem like Tom's the best guy to work for in the world, according to some of that. But the point of the matter is, as Grigson sent in his letter to the NFL, all the Indianapolis Colts want is a completely level playing field. Thank you for being vigilant stewards of that, not only for us, but for the Shield and the overall integrity of the game. That was an email he sent Ryan Grigson to the NFL a day before the AFC Championship game, according to Mike Wells, ESPN's AFC South reporter on that. And again, so the scuttlebutt around the league was, hey, this isn't such a big secret. Why don't you go check it out? Now, how long did it take to figure this out? This one, I just told you, January 17th was the day before the game. So
yep.
January 18th was the game. Where are we now? Almost
May
18th?
May.
Yeah.
We're in May.
So I guess getting all these tactical
Weather's nicer.
Facts and figures and everything else was part of it. 243-page report concludes, it is more probable than not that the Patriots personnel, quote, participated in a deliberate effort to release air from Patriot game balls after the balls were examined by the referee. That's the quote from Ted Wells' report.
Well, the one interesting thing that came out the first time this got released.
Home field advantage for the Colts if there's no Brady for 4 weeks.
And we talked it here. We talked about it here because I saw it online, was the fumble rate that the Patriots had.
Because they don't fumble.
They had, I want to say they had 4 fumbles or maybe even 5 fumbles in the first 2 games of the year and won the entire rest of the season.
There you go.
Which is fantastic if as a coaching staff you can teach your guys not to fumble at that kind of rate. That's
gold, Jerry. You can sell that at any level.
That is high quality to the point of unbelievability. And I think that's what it gets down to is, you know, the question gets asked a lot, well, what does it matter, you know, what a half a pound here or that or there is in the inflation. I mean, do you really want a deflated football to throw the football and catch the football?
When it rains or
I'm
cold?
Not a physicist, but I would maybe argue that catching the ball would be a little easier if it wasn't so hard and slick. I would also argue it might be a little easier to hold on to if you could get your fingers into it a little bit.
Yep.
But I think that's
where cold,
that's where people
raining,
aren't sure.
Where it's everything
yeah,
else.
Exactly. That's where people aren't sure where this plays in. But the bottom line is, you're exactly right. It is yet another example of the Patriots
blatant.
Skirting the rules. The one thing they did during the course of late in the season that was not technically skirting the rules but has already been ruled in another fashion at this point in time was we remember all the lineups they threw out there also where they had a player that was on the line of scrimmage but was ineligible because he was covered up by an outside player. Well, this was an actual eligible receiver that had to report into an ineligible position, which is usually the opposite of what happens when you report. They have outlawed that now all of a sudden. So, yeah, again, here's 2 examples of the Patriots late in the season doing something that has gotten them either in trouble or gotten a rule changed because of what they're trying to do.
For the reasons described in this report and after a comprehensive investigation, we have concluded that in connection with the AFC Championship game, it is more probable than not that New England Patriots personnel participated in violations of the playing rules and were involved in a deliberate attempt to circumvent the rules. There's that deliberate word again. Well, it wasn't like, oh, we interpreted that as you could maybe put a guy in the line of scrimmage as long as he reports, as long as he doesn't report. But if he reports,
that was a legal play. I mean, I want to be
the point.
I think that's important.
That's
at the very
the
least.
Point. But that got someone's attention as well.
Yeah,
but this
the competition
was a
committee ruled that that
deliberate.
Should not be the case.
Attempt.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
more likely than not. I mean, is that suspendable? More likely
yes,
than not?
Because
is it?
I would think so because, again, it shows they are not a first-time offender. It is the same group in ownership who they said that's not the owner's problem. But this stuff's going on with – it's just a coincidence. It keeps going on over there.
Well, of course. More likely than not in a certain action is a little bit different than more likely than not they're cheating again. It is more likely than not they're cheating again because they have a history of actually cheating.
And they have text messages about the guys talking about how many balls, how much you're going to do it, how much you're not going to do it. And if there's a violation, there has to be a punishment. Now, with the punishment – has to be that I don't know what the NFL has laid out in all of that. It sounds like the issue with it is the punishment and the crime. What is the crime? The game is brought into disrepute. There are people out there that says you make $1 trillion a year, you make all this money, line your pockets, owners are rich, players are rich, mm-hmm. You use tax dollar money to put your
right.
You're
you
not
make us pay for
you're
games
not
tax we don't exempt. Want to go to.
You're not under Congress hadn't got you yet, but mm-hmm. you're getting rid of that. Your game has to be on the up and up. It can't be one team plays by the rules they feel like, whether
right.
it's minuscule in a half a percent of pounds per square inch here or there. The point is, the reason the league makes $1 trillion every year is because it's all played by the same rules. This is the same league, Dave. if you wear a black pair of shoes, you're fined $10,000 on game day, and they make you take them off before the game starts. If you wear extra wristbands over a certain part of your arm, they make you take them off and fine you.
Yeah.
Merton Hanks is the king of this. They have former players that go to each sideline before the game and say, tuck your shirt in, pull the right sock up.
Right.
Too much tape, not enough tape. You've covered the logo, uncover it. And if you don't do it, they fine you.
Yeah.
So, yes, there should be punishments for this, or it makes them look completely hypocritical, and they just want it to all go away. Well, that's not my problem as a fan. No. That's their problem. It took them 5 months to figure it out, and if you take an investigation, it takes that long, and 243 pages, and your conclusion is, that's not a big deal. You've wasted everybody's time, and I'm never going to take you seriously again.
Joe Montana has not been in a probe for cheating in any part of the game of football that I'm aware of.
Terry Bradshaw.
Greatest of all time, folks.
John Elway. Throw them all in there.
Still active. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball all the rest of the week, all 7 o'clock, so you don't have to do much of anything. Just tune in at 7 o'clock and figure on that. They're in Pittsburgh tonight right after the show and tomorrow night. Then they go to Chicago to play the White Sox, and that is Friday and Saturday, and we'll have them all next week also. 333-2665 is our phone number.
And don't forget, before the Reds and White Sox on Saturday, the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, the first road course race for the Indy cars at the Motor Speedway, 3:30, so busy afternoon. Again, you're covered on all your bases there.
Absolutely. Let's bring in our friend John.
John!
How you doing, John?
What's going on?
Good.
A couple points, and I want to get your opinions on this. I'm not a Colts fan, as you know.
No,
so I don't have an axe to grind in this thing, and I know the Colts wouldn't have won that game regardless because they couldn't stop the run.
Well, Brady's the greatest of all time now, not Joe Montana.
Look, he's great, but I'll always hang my hat on Joe Montana because I am prejudiced as a 49er fan.
That's what he did.
He never lost a Super Bowl.
Can't beat Eli Manning in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. But if this isn't important, isn't a big deal, A, why do it in the first place? And number two, the Patriots have a atmosphere and a culture of that kind of corruption up there, and it's not just the team or the players and the owner. It seems like to be the writers and everybody around there seems to accept. It's almost like Kentucky basketball was when Joby Hall was there and after Tubby Smith left, and it is now. You know, they don't care as long as you win, and they will rationalize anything that happens.
Oh, absolutely. Sports talk radio is the same way. It's terrible.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I just wonder, and until there is a consequence, and the first-round draft pick is harsh, but $500,000 for a billionaire owner,
give me $5. Give me $5.
Change, right? That's not a big deal. Until there's some kind of consequence that's really stark for them, I don't think they
see, I think the consequence in this should be twofold. Number one, they're a repeat offender, so right there it jacks up the punishment
that'd
to start with, and nobody
yeah.
nobody can argue that. They're not getting caught cheating, John, week two of the preseason. They're going to get caught cheating week three in September. They're getting caught cheating before the Super Bowl and before the AFC Championship game. So that tells me what the hell's going on the other 18 weeks is probably unbelievable.
Yeah.
they're not even worried. It's the Super Bowl. We're going to do it before the Super. We're going to do it before the AFC Championship game. What do they have no care in the world?
The only way it matters to anybody, it makes any difference to anybody. It's kind of twofold. In sports, it's a little bit different than most places. Most places, it is money. But $500,000 does not matter to someone that's making millions and millions and millions and is worth billions. You're exactly right there. But when it comes to a sport franchise, what you have to look at is you have to look at suspensions and significant suspensions. We're not talking a game or two games, even in the NFL. I mean, if you want to send the right message, or a real legitimate message, you say to Bill Belichick, have a happy 2015, we'll see you in 2016, assuming you still want to coach after that.
You're the detail freak. You know every single thing that
happens
no in that organization.
There's no chance whatsoever that the person who is lauded as being that involved in every aspect
detail of every
and
practice.
The detail of every single aspect of everything in his program doesn't know that's happening.
I don't know what's
it's
going
on. Possible. Let me put a different verbiage. It is most likely probable that that's the case.
All right. Most likely not probable that he wasn't involved. How about this, John? Take away four home games from him. You get Kraft in the pocket.
Well, you're making my point for me. I mean, until there is a consequence that they look and say, ow, they're going to continue to do what they're doing because
the word we're looking for is deterrent, and they obviously didn't find one after the first time of doing it.
Why would they want to change off of what the past history? They lost the first-round draft pick, so what? A couple of years later, Brandon Merriweather was a first-round pick. He's gone. I mean, they can replace those guys.
Yeah. Again, suspend the coach and the quarterback for the entire
year. That's guys they can't replace.
Hey, I mean, if anybody wants to actually make a difference, but of course the issue there is they don't want to suspend the quarterback for that long because he's a star and that's what everybody's tuning in for.
But that's the problem. You can't have it both ways.
Of course.
I'm with you. What they have to do is, the problem is, they don't need to send a message to anybody else because nobody else has this problem.
They're not getting caught at
now,
least.
Now, John, let me take you back. I just thought of something. Let me take you back a couple years. What'd they do to Sean Payton for Bountygate?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole year, wasn't it?
Whole year.
Yeah.
It was his first his first offense, and then they came out afterwards and said, whoops, maybe it wasn't like that. Sorry about your year-long suspension.
Well, I think he might have been half a year, but the player and the defensive coordinator were the entire year.
Looked that up just to
I will.
But I think it was a year. And then they came out like 2 years later and said, well, you know, maybe you weren't involved to a degree and maybe we shouldn't have done that. I don't care about that. So they got that investigation not 100% right. I don't know what they've done in this investigation. But the Saints had no priors on their record and they threw at them. They threw the book at Sean Payton. And for what? Telling guys to hit guys harder? Okay. That's kind of within the rules of football.
Well,
deflating the ball and doing it after the referees checked it, that's not, oops, it happened. That's playing tough and hard.
Let's be careful.
They have been second-time offenders.
Let's not make the Bountygate situation or an idea that popped into my head, Ndamukong Suh continuing to step on people left, right, up and down. Let's not bring those down to make the Patriots look worse. The Patriots look bad enough as it is, and they should.
But the one
because
thing
they are trying to cheat the rules of the game and competition standpoint. You're exactly right earlier on. You're playing on an even playing field. Now, the balls are different between the two teams, and so you are giving yourself – it'd be – I don't know. I'd look at it a little differently if you had IU, you deflated the basketballs. Because both teams are using the same basketball. It's not like you take it out of bounds and you get a different basketball. But, you know, it's wrong, but it's not – to me, with the footballs, it is defined that you get to use your own footballs, but they have to be within certain specifications. And in this case, their specifications were not the same as everybody else's.
And this was the only time they were caught doing that, which makes you lead to believe, if you read this part of these reports and these quotes, they've been doing it.
If Tom Brady knows what he wants out of his football, and I guarantee every quarterback out there knows what he wants his football to feel like in his hands, they scuff them up, they do it. I mean, they do a bunch of different things to these things.
If you're looking,
I guarantee he knows if it's a pound difference.
This is what I look at, John. The precedent is New Orleans, Bountygate, 1 year for the head coach.
Yeah, that makes perfect
sense.
Second
time offenders in New England.
The linebacker got suspended in that case for an entire year. As did the defense coordinator.
So who is the ringleader? The quarterback. Suspend him
exactly
for a year.
Right.
Suspend everybody because that's the precedent. And if rules are broken to be whatever level of rules they are, number one, New England's done it twice. Number two, which I think is even more important, they've been caught before the two biggest games, the Super Bowl and the conference championship. That adds more fire to my fuel. And number three, Belichick and Brady and Robert Kraft are the same guys that have been through all of this.
Exactly. And until they do something with them, they're going to continue to get away with it. And to believe that this was the responsibility of a equipment manager or assistant equipment manager, two guys that had total control of this, and nobody, Belichick or anyone else, Brady or anyone else, knew anything about this, that you have to suspend belief to believe in something.
They have the guys going into the bathroom on camera, or the guy with the bag of balls for a minute 48 seconds, and he comes out, and the balls are different than when they were checked by Walt Anderson, the referee. Anderson said he's never seen anything like that.
Why do they come out and
years.
Say more than likely? That's what
I
want to know.
I mean, isn't that pretty absolute?
What do you do in the bathroom?
Pretty damning at the very
in the
least.
Bathroom. Right, exactly.
He has to watch them while he's peeing. I got an answer
for you. Go ask a Patriot apologist what that means. Because they'll tell you. They'll tell you all about it. They'll tell you how Tommy's the best quarterback ever. Tommy from Quincy. I don't want to hear it. He's a cheat. He cheats.
Well,
and we'll see what his punishment is. And you'll know right now, and you'll know when that punishment comes down, just how far in bed Goodell is with Kraft.
Yeah.
You will know. Because Kraft came out today and said, hey, it looks bad. We're 1-32. We're going to let this go its way. We're not going to appeal it. We're going to go about our business. And if that gets one game instead of four – 8 games instead of 16. Again, what is your league based on? It's based on public trust that your game is being played on the up and up. The Patriots have continued to show they don't want to play by the rules everybody else does. And the results have been what? Super Bowl, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The biggest prize, the most people watching, the most scrutinized media event of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they are benefiting from while the rest of the league is sitting there going, hey, geez, thanks a lot for the help.
Okay, what predictions? I'll get off because you got to go to a commercial here pretty soon. But what do you expect the punishments to be?
The NFL? I don't have one of those. See, we don't do that radio show like the guys do where they hit like at 40 buttons and has all the sound effects. But I would do the clucking chicken right now if I had that, because I think he's going to get 3 games and a very hefty slap on the wrist, a very contrite statement about sorry. Didn't understand, not sure they took it too far, I didn't have anything to do with it, and the NFL hopes by the first game of the season in September this is all gone.
Three regular season games, you mean?
Three regular season, I don't care, preseason games don't count for anybody anyhow.
No,
please don't suspend them 3 preseason games. We've gone through that here in Bloomington. You're trying to tell me a suspension is three exhibition games? I'm not listening to that one bit. That won't work with me, John. I don't know about the rest. Let's go 4 games. That's a quarter of 16, so that makes more sense. 3 is, 3 of 18 weeks. You can do that math in there, too.
Can you do something with Belichick, even though he got a clean bill of health on this?
Yes, because he's a repeat offender.
I think he should.
He cannot claim he doesn't have any idea what's going on.
The report says no wrongdoing or knowledge of wrongdoing by Patriots ownership, head coach Bill Belichick, or any other Patriots coach. You know what? I don't necessarily disbelieve that. I could see that something that small being between the quarterback and the guys that prepare the stuff for him. The problem is, again, where it's hard to believe that is, again, what level of control Bill Belichick has over everything that goes on with his football team.
But a quarterback wouldn't do that if he thought his coach was going to absolutely put the hammer down.
You know, they can say that Bill Belichick didn't order it or didn't say okay or any other sorts of things.
Who ordered the code red, John?
Again, I don't have any idea. I doubt Robert Kraft has any idea what's going on, because they're not going to bother him with the pressure in the football. But Bill Belichick doesn't know everything about his team already. Of course he does.
Let me ask you a question, John. A product gets recalled because some people have issues with it or have died from it. They don't arrest the assembly line guy. They arrest the CEO of the company.
All right.
That's what happens.
Well, you get and the nail, well, you get
now,
the nail
now
the head.
The NFL can do anything they want because they are the NFL. But in the real world, it's the guy in charge of everybody who's when things go bad, that's what happens.
That's
you
what
hit
Sean
the nail
Payton
on the head. Pro sports exist because people have faith and confidence in the integrity of the product.
Absolutely.
And when you lose that, it's gone.
Isn't this why Pete Rose still can't get in the Hall of Fame?
Probably.
The other
or
issue?
Or baseball at all?
You come out and you tell us how great you're doing with concussions. You come out and you tell us how great you're doing with domestic violence. You want me to keep going through
which
the list?
Which is more important than the pressure of the football, to be
my
fair.
My point is they have more than one problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this isn't going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. They've got some problems, and what they need to do is bond back with the fan. And you know what? If Robert Kraft's a little butthurt because his coach cheats and his quarterback cheats, that's a Robert Kraft problem. He's chosen to employ them, and he has made $1 trillion from it. If suffering for him is a house arrest for mm-hmm. you can't go to Barbados for a week, boo-hoo.
Yeah.
I'm over it. But what the point of the matter is, this is not concocted by the jealous media. This is not concocted by the jealous owners.
Nope.
This is not concocted by jealous press, bloggers in a basement, or anything else. This was common knowledge around the league. Grigson went with it. He said, "Hey, you know what? I'll throw my hat in the ring. I've only been doing this 2 years. Well, what do I care?"
And might Ursa, be the thing I like best about Ryan Grigson so far.
And Ursa has his back,
because
he had to.
Sure.
And if nothing happens out of it, well, then again, you'll see exactly where Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell spoon? Do they switch sides every other day? I'm not sure how that works, but there has to be something firm. That gets not my attention, John. I don't count in this. It gets the gal that turns in on Monday Night Football. That's who it has to hit. It has to be something where they go, "Whoa, that's bad. I can't believe that. Wow, was it really that bad?" Yeah, it's really that bad, in my opinion.
I agree.
Filet him.
John, we got to let you go. We got to hit a break.
Good job as always, John. You're the man.
We'll put Joe Montana back to the top.
John's
going to
come over to the Colts side for a little bit. His boy Frank Gore's with the Colts now. So we'll get a little bit more Colts.
Well, he wasn't there with Ricky Jean Francois.
No, because Gore's a better player.
Well, that's true.
That's exactly true.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Williams Brothers Healthcare Pharmacy is a family-owned business offering personalized expert advice on a wide range of pharmacy services. 574 Landmark Avenue, South Landmark Avenue. Williams Brothers, committed to creating customers for life. And you just heard the NFL update minute there. Not one mention of what they found today, but hey, there's an undrafted, maybe free agent murderer that's out there that they, a team could sign to a free agent contract.
Which isn't exactly better reporting for the NFL.
Oh my gosh. Can you just pick another? What other grenade do you want to dive on next?
Well, they threw that one out there.
Johnny Manziel back in rehab. You want to go down that road one more time?
Let's start replaying all the press conferences these guys had.
My God.
Where they denied it all the way.
Although
Bill Belichick tried to play physicist there for a while.
Well, he played physicist 3 days after he told you he had absolutely, positively no clue how it works.
He spent three days playing.
In 3 days, he wanted to figure.
Meteorological physicist.
And that just goes back to his narcissism about he wants to know every single detail.
Absolutely right.
He's proving his case for us.
Yes, exactly.
We don't even have to get in the ring
with
him.
He went through that process.
He said on the day, I have no clue how this process works. I have no idea who handles them. I have no idea what the regulations are. You're asking the wrong guy. I got no clue.
Right.
And then 3 days later, they schedule a press conference where he trots out
everything he's done.
Gets his little reader's glasses out and starts going, "Now, if you understand how football is thrown." Yeah, Bill, we don't want to hear it. Just you did the right thing. You lawyered up on Monday. You said you didn't know anything about it. And if you don't say another word about it, you look a lot better than you do now. Now you look like your quarterback. Quarterback said, "Well, I got no idea how this happened." No, I'm not. I don't do that.
Look,
you don't. Well,
who knew?
Here's evidence contrary, boys.
Who out there knew all of these procedures existed for inflating the footballs and keeping them inflated up until game time? And to have that level of detail in the processes involved with literally just how much the footballs are inflated.
Have you read these text messages?
Well, no, I get that. But what I'm saying is to have that level of detail in place on a procedure at the league level for every operation of every game, to think that you can just mess around with that a little bit and it shouldn't have a punishment of some sort to me is the
crazy. What they found quite simply was, and here's where I'll play amateur detective. They knew the time between the balls being checked, the balls going out to the field, and they just didn't get that right that day. You had to know. He knew he had under 2 minutes to do it. He went and he knew that's the time frame because it was he did that the first time. Wow, I was lucky.
Lucky, yeah. And wow. Got it all done inside of 2 minutes.
Good for it. I mean, I tell you, this story is great.
Bill Polian was on the league's competition committee for 19 years and is quoted on ESPN as saying that the term that the Wells report used, more probable than not, has been the standard of proof the NFL has used for competitive violations over the last 6 years. Quote, in short, he is finding there was a violation, unquote.
The facts, ma'am.
Yeah, that's
just the facts.
We will see.
And again, if the NFL has any spine, which I don't believe they do, people heard the Bounty Gate stuff and were shocked that it went on in the league. And that was kind of not hugely surprising because that was always one of those deals you kind of like,
isn't spying on somebody? I mean, stealing signs in baseball has been around forever.
Well, but the Bounty Gate about guys hitting guys harder and getting, that's kind of, weren't those in the movies?
Yeah, exactly.
So that wasn't
I thought that's how the Raiders won every
game. That was the fan I'm talking about that said, wow, a year? That's they must think that's important.
Right.
That's the punishment you have to have here for me to get off your case.
I would think
that's
so.
That's it. Yeah. That's the punishment. I want the casual fan. I want my mom to call me and go, did you see that?
Again, they suspended, and I'll look up, I believe it was Jonathan Vilma.
It was Vilma.
They've suspended Jonathan Vilma for the entire year. They suspended Greg Williams for at least a year and Sean Payton for a year in that.
There you go.
So, I mean, I don't see how you do anything less than that.
And the Saints had no priors. They had not caused any problems. The Superdome holds multiple Super Bowls over the last however many years the Benson family has owned the New Orleans Saints. They threw the book at him.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them. Caught it right in the chops for a year. Three yep. ways. Now you have a multiple offender with the exact same management people in place, with the exception of the general manager for the most part. You have the same owner, the same coach, and the same quarterback. Make the casual fan say, holy cow, because then I know you did your job. If people aren't saying, no one's going to go to the water cooler, hey, Tom Brady got suspended for two games. No one cares if you're not a diehard football fan or if he's not in your keeper league. Nobody cares. Give me a punishment that people say, whoa, and take notice that aren't football fans. That's when I know you've done the right thing. That's my opinion.
Jonathan Vilma was suspended the entire 2012 season.
Did he even play after that? I think it was
along
done
with
that.
Scott Fujita, yeah. Will Smith, a defensive end, and defensive end Anthony Hargrove. It does not say that
all for
their
a year?
Suspensions. I don't believe their suspensions
I don't think
were
they
for
were
a year. I think Fujita might have been a half a year. But I'm looking at Vilma's information here. But it was overturned and then it was reinstated. Yeah,
not good.
2014, he was cut. Look, I, you know, it hadn't occurred to me that at the time when I heard this about the Bounty Gate situation, but I think you're exactly right. I mean, you're talking about this is on the field, and
yeah, it's part of the game. You can dress up a little
bit, yeah, and that's the interesting thing. There, this is you talk about the off the. I get the balls are on the field, but this is kind of you're
behind the scenes.
Yes, you're behind the scenes. You're off the field, whatever you want to call it. It's not. It is not throwing. It's not using a knife to get a block in. You know, it's
the last Boy Scout where he pulls
it's
out
nefarious.
The pistol.
It is.
It is direct and deliberate.
If you're nuts on the field like Ndamukong Suh and you step on a guy, I'm not going to make
or
the case that
the
it's a heat of the moment thing,
yeah.
But you are asking these people to get a little enraged out there and then asking them to be in control.
Yeah.
But this is a series of plans and literally saying to the personnel people below you, do this for me. I want you to be culpable with me or for me.
Or you lose your job.
To do this, exactly right.
And no one's going to go to bat for that guy and say, no, I heard Tom say he's going to lose his
Tom
job.
Tom said he's going to
do it.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't matter. The other point is, every time Ndamukong Suh does something badly,
he gets suspended or fined or something.
More each time, doesn't he?
Yeah, pretty much.
More each time.
Yeah.
It doesn't decrease.
Yep.
It's not at the level where they
habitual
say.
Habitual offender.
It's not like where the referee goes, that's 1, 2, 3 fouls, and next one's a yellow.
Right, that's in soccer.
Guess what happens? But that's the point. And guess what happens after the next one after that?
You get a yellow.
No.
Then you get the red, yes.
My point is, they've already done this, and I've already had one penalty. So come on, NFL, show us that you're a big boy league, and show us that you can put a little bite into that bark. I'm not holding my breath at all.
I doubt it. If you get, 6-8 games out of Brady?
Half a season is good.
Surprised.
That's good because that should take him. Knocking out
Belichick should be more.
Belichick should be more.
He should be the year. He's in charge.
And then big money from the owner because this is number two.
Yep.
Let him off easy once. He probably told him it's never going to happen again. You'll never see us in your office again. Okay?
You wonder what other things that these GMs and owners aren't talking about.
Yeah.
Got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes. You're in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone. Dave and Glass here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
The fully inflated one-hour program here on a Wednesday night.
We lead you right up into the Reds broadcast, 7 o'clock. They are in Pittsburgh for a couple nights, tonight and tomorrow, and then they go to Chicago to play the White Sox. Friday, Saturday, we'll have them. 7 o'clock in the Grand Prix of Indy, Sunday.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
At least some of them.
Yeah. Cool. I think it's obviously not Formula One. That's a whole different set of circumstances. But again, doing something to bring some juice to the month of
May.
It's
sure.
Actual racing, and you can qualify and practice, and all that stuff's great. We know qualifying is just one weekend now instead of the two it used to be. Okay, cool. So you put a race in there instead. Well, if you're an Indy car fan, that's a pretty cool 3-week period where you've got the track open last Saturday or Sunday. So you got these guys running this weekend, qualifying the weekend after that, and boom, 99th running the 500 we'll have for you. 11 a.m. Sunday, April 24th. all the pomp, pageantry, and everything else. Green flag racing at noon. So, yeah, let's do something. I give them credit. I was on their case. They didn't do a lot of things. They're doing something now. It's better than a zip line, better than a concert. This is racing for racing fans. That's who you lost. You didn't lose entertainment fans. You lost racing fans.
Do we get them back for a bunch of that week? Because wasn't this usually, the carb day was Thursday, and carb you'd day, have them all well, the way to Sunday?
Carb day would have been Thursday the 21st. With the race being the 24th, so you still have that stuff that goes on, the pit stop competition on Friday. You get all that going, but there was just more practice, there was more cars, there was more interest, and they kept just narrowing the month of May down to the 10 days of May, and now they've at least given you a race. You can see these guys turn right and left and then jump right back on the oval for the next 2 weeks. So I'll give them credit where credit's due. Unlike the Patriots, they don't deserve any credit.
The next large competition, which we had several of this past weekend, both golf and horse racing, and also we had the fight on Saturday night, but we've got another golf event this
weekend. Big one, the Players.
The Players, commonly referred to as the fifth major. You can call it that if you'd like. But it is the best field in golf.
It's one of them.
The richest event of the year, which is why they're all there.
That is the tournament for the Players, by the Players, of the Players. The PGA Tour puts this on. That's why it's called the Players. Always at the same course, so that helps breed familiarity as well. The TPC Stadium course, TPC Sawgrass, that you've played before. Very nice.
Not very well, no.
You shouldn't, because that's
extremely
difficult. That's why. If they're calling it the fifth major, I would hope it's extremely difficult. And that's what makes it fun. So you get 2 weeks in a row of the biggest names in golf. You had the top 64 minus Mickelson, Luke Donald, and a couple fringe guys last week. Now you've got 49 of the top 50. Victor Dubuisson pulled out. And then, again, I didn't even count up to 100 to see how many there were. There's a lot.
Bunch, yeah.
Because here's how they put it together. It's the top 125 on the money list last year. Boom, that's the first 125 in.
Right.
And then all the internationals fill those next 28 spots or whatever gets to 156.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, really good.
Yeah.
You don't sneak into that field. You either, because if you're not in the top 125 at the end of the season, you don't get your card for next year. There are ways of going about doing that after, but that's the cream of the cream. The Players, they reward you for being the top 125. So they put you in this tournament with a chance to win 1.8 million. Second place, 1 million.
Yeah.
Not a bad deal at all.
No, a ton of money. So, as you said, everybody's in it. It's a quirky golf course. Of course, we've got one of those down the road in the Pete Dye course in French Lick. This is much different from the standpoint of visually what you're going to see out there, because obviously there's a lot of water and a different kind of trees than you see down in French Lick. But it's all about messing with your head. It's all about
the angles.
What you see, what you think you see, trying to get
Pete
the right spots.
Pete Dye, cricket stick as well. Don't forget that.
I mean, perfect spots to put the bunkers, perfect spots to put a water. It's amazing
what he does just to mess with you.
The Players don't like him a whole hell of a lot.
Well, don't hit him there. And that's why this tournament isn't won by a lot of young players. I think when my research I looked at, in the last 20 years, five rookies have finished in the top five. Jordan Spieth wasn't a rookie last year because he played enough in 2013 not to qualify as a rookie last year.
Essentially a rookie.
But the guys I can name off, Fulton Alum, David Lingmert, guys are like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing, this will be edition 34 at the Sawgrass course, not one repeat champion.
Back-to-back.
That's defended his title.
Back-to-back.
Unbelievable. Nobody has repeated in consecutive years, obviously, to win that. No one has won it more than twice. There's a list of about six players that have done that. But that just shows you how quirky it is. If you're good and you put the ball in the right spot, you are highly rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are bad, you can make really big numbers. How diverse the swing is? Rory McIlroy made 25 birdies last year, finished sixth. The tournament record is 26 birdies.
Jeez.
He missed it by one because he had 12 bogeys and a double. And I think he shot 38, 42, 37, 36 on the front nine 4 days. So he's a billion over par. But the back, 31, 32, 31, 33.
Yeah.
You can get in a lot of trouble. You can avoid a lot of trouble. If you hit it straight down the sprinkler line, you usually don't struggle.
Everybody thinks of 17 when they think of the Players, the Island Green, but there are a lot of holes out there that are very enticing and interesting. I mean, again, visually, I played it. I'm a lousy golfer. It was a fun day because you're at that course.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about it is everything around you is something to see. And that's half your problem if you're a hardcore golfer, is that everything comes into play in some fashion. But visually, it's just absolutely stunning. Every little hump, every little white sand, whatever it is, it's just it's amazing to look at.
Yeah, then you find out it's only 140 yards away, but it looks like it's right in your eyesight. Well, it's not. You're going to hit the ball right over it because it does that. And that's what makes it difficult to tame. You can hit the ball a little crooked off the tee. Martin Kaymer proved that last year when he won. He was T39 in fairways.
Yeah.
And T3 in greens and
regulation. A lot of trees along the fairways. I mean, that's what gets you. You have one or two that come into play kind of on tee shots, but not a lot.
The evil genius that is Pete Dye has given obviously gives you a chance to still have a shot to hit greens because Kaymer showed you that. He was in the bottom half in fairways, but he was third in greens and regulation.
Well, you got par fours you can't hit a driver on because there's water in play out there.
Or you can, and if you hit it really well, you get really rewarded.
Well, and I'm thinking four or five out there is one where the water's too close, and you can't really get over it, but it's all about the short game then all of a sudden, and a difficult greens, it's all sloping into the water.
And if you miss the wrong side or hit it in the wrong trap, but the good news is, if you miss it properly, you should be able to get up and down.
Yeah.
If you hit the right portion of the green, there's only X amount of spots you can put on those greens because they're small. There's tiny greens, only 4,500 square feet. Average tour green's about 6,000. So if you hit the green, you got a good chance of making birdie.
No, and go back a couple weeks to the Masters and think of the size of those greens.
Huge.
Now, they're hard, extremely hard, but they are enormous compared to these. As you mentioned, thin, small in most spots. Just like everything else, it's hard to see all the plateaus and things on TV, but you can see the size. You'll watch the first hole of the day, and towards the back, it's maybe 6 feet across, it feels like. So I think I chipped over that thing three times in a row, back.
It's a mind.
Just trying to get it to stop.
But the fun thing about it is good shots are rewarded, great shots are really rewarded, and bad shots should be penalized. Remember, that island green's only 137 yards away. Yeah. That's sand wedge or wedge for these guys.
And you've got par fives you can score on. I mean, 16 right before it. I mean, eagle is very much in play every time you go out there.
Craig Perks finished 3-2-3 when he won in 2002.
There
his only tour victory.
That's eagle.
Birdie.
That's not bad.
No, not at all.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday where we talk about that incredibly long suspension for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the cojones shown by Roger Goodell. I'm sure it will happen. And we will talk to you on Monday. You've been in the zone.